Dr. John, it's good to have you here this morning, this early in the morning.
Thank you.
Would you like to come up here and lead us in prayer to begin with today?
Lord, we come to you in all humbleness, thanking you for what you give us, what you've bestowed on us, Lord, for your greatness, for your magnificence, for your loving gift that you've given us through your Son. We just ask you to be with this class, be with Pastor Jim as he brings the message, Lord, and teaches us your word so that we can understand what you want us to know. We thank you in all these things, and thank you so much for all your blessings. Amen.
Amen. If I can stand up here without falling over. Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 41. We covered this a little bit last week, but we need to go on. What? Luke 12 and 41. Luke 12 and 41. I didn't write Luke up there, did I? Luke 12 and verse 41. We first of all, Christ causes division. That's part of this lesson today. But the very beginning of it is discipleship and stewardship. Discipleship and stewardship. Stewardship. How important is stewardship, Brother Mike? Huh? How long does it last? How important it is for how long? All of your life, but does it follow you from here into eternity? You know, in the Lord's kingdom, and that's about where we're about to go, right into the kingdom. In the Lord's kingdom, there is going to be an order of service and an order of leaders in eternity. Say eternity. How do you say eternity in Hebrew? Olam. In Greek, eis tonion tonion. All right, Greek Hebrew just says olam. That means for a long period of time without end, basically. How many of you can think about eternity? Young lady, you're a young, beautiful girl. Now, and you've been on earth for a few years. How about 10,000 years? What do you think about 10,000 years? That's a long time, isn't it? Can you imagine 10,000 years? How about you, young lady? Can you imagine 10,000 years? How about 100 million years? How about 100 trillion years? Huh? The years are greater than the American debt today. That's not even eternity. That's not eternity. 100 billion trillion years, quadrillion, quadrillion. That is not eternity. You think about all of that. You put pennies together, and you could go to the moon and back, and to the sun and back, just lay them side by side, and go to all the planets, and every one of them was a year, that wouldn't be eternity. Eternity just goes on and on and on and on. Okay? Now, what you do in the world today has eternal consequences. Eternal consequences. Who is Jesus in your life? Brother Abe. We're going to find out here. Peter, and all we talked about Peter in Matthew 16 to 18, Brother Abe brought that out today. And Peter said, Lord, and this is after he got through talking about be ready and all of this stuff. He talked about wealth and mammon and how wealth and mammon corrupts. Money is not neutral. Wealth or mammon is not neutral. It has an entity to it. And that entity is, according to the Word of God, always corrupting. It's like leaven. You have to be real careful when you touch it. It can corrupt you. It can corrupt. All right? And Jesus just told a story about that. And then in verse number 41, Peter says, Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to someone else as well? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible, rational, knowledgeable steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants, of his servants. Do you know that in eternity there are going to be masters and there are going to be servants? Did you know that? There are. According to what you do in this world. And also, there is something in the Bible that just absolutely has just echoed in my head forever. The first shall be last and the last shall be first. Many people that are first in this line, great leaders in the world today, in the kingdom of God, and even in God's kingdom, I mean, even His legitimate kingdom and His churches, will be last. And the last shall be first. Do you know some people that are just faithful and come to church are very, very important to God's Word? Very, very important. I often see a woman that, and I've watched her here for 20 years. She is so faithful, she walks to church and she walks home. I saw her walking home with a walker here a while back. I've seen her raise her children, and the children just give her just all kinds of trouble. And just all, you know, basically life problems, you know. But that woman is faithful. She's been faithful through it all. She just comes and she goes to church, and she worships God, and she is faithful. I think that that woman will be one of the great shining stars in eternity. She doesn't teach a class or anything. She's just here. She supports. She gives. And she prays. Very important. I used to watch an old man in the Sundays or in the church services years ago when I went in there. He always wore red suspenders. And he sat in a certain place in the church, and he was always there. I'm sure he's dead now. But he always took up space. He always sang. He always worshipped. He always gave. I think that man's going to be very, very important in eternity. He was faithful. Should we be faithful? Yeah, we should be faithful. Who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants and give them the rations at proper times? Blessed is the slave whom his... And so many people here a while back, there in the Sunday school lessons, I had a lot of phone calls. And since I'm the language scholar around here, you know, they say, Brother Phillips, you know, Dr. Phillips or whatever, you know. What do you think about this word slave? What is it like in the Bible? I said, it's doulos. I said, there's many words, but doulos means a bought and paid for slave. A slave. Someone that doesn't own themselves. Paul was greatly proud to call himself a slave of God. A slave. A servant. And people don't like to be called servants. But one of these days, we will be servants and we will be leaders in eternity. And that's what this little part of the lesson is talking about. Blessed is the slave whom his master finds doing so when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possession. Now we're talking about eternity. We're talking about eternity in the future. Okay? This is jumping over there forever. That's how long eternity is, Brother Abe, forever. But if the slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, and begins to beat the other slaves, abuse them, how could you abuse people in churches today? How could you do that? Take advantage of them? Take from them? How many of you have heard of Jimmy Baker? All right. Jimmy Baker was put in prison. Why was he put in prison?
Misusing people's money.
It wasn't for adultery, was it? Even though he was guilty of that. It was for stealing people, God's people's money. And lying about it. Stealing people's money. And he's back out there doing it again. He's out of prison. He's out doing it again. Brother Bill.
You said not for adultery, but Jim, I have to disagree with that. It was adultery to God.
Well, yes. He was unfaithful. He was unfaithful servant. He was an unfaithful servant. If he's even saved.
And your sins will find you out.
Yeah. He was an unfaithful servant. And he took advantage of people and took their money and ran with it and used it and abused his power and his people's love. My master will be a long time in coming and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. I think he ate and drank and got drunk on wealth, didn't he? Mm-hmm. The master of that slave will come on that day when he does not expect him, and an hour when he does not know, and he will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the what? What? Do sometimes unbelievers get in God's churches and become leaders? Do they? Huh? With the unbelievers. Where do the unbelievers go? Where do the unbelievers go, Brother Bill?
Yeah.
That's right. This guy was in the church and using people. And he was an unbeliever. And that slave who knew his master's will and did it not, get ready, or on account accord with his will, shall receive many lashes. Will you, in eternity, will you get a whooping from the Lord? What does it say? Will you come before the Lord? Will you get a lashing? Yeah. But he who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but few. From everyone who has been given much shall much be required, and to whom he has entrusted much, of him they will ask much more. Teachers and pastors have a much higher standard than the average church member. As simple as that. Of judgment. Verse 49 now. Verse 49. Division. Jesus causes division. How does he cause division? Let's look and see that too. Present tense. This is what happens in families. I have come to cast fire upon the earth. Everybody thinks about the meek and lowly Jesus, don't they? The one that turns the other cheek and all that kind of business. Let's look and see what he's talking about here now. I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Verse number 50. This is a really an important verse right here, verse number 50. But I have a baptism. What does a baptism mean? What's baptism? What is it, literally? What is baptism, Brother Mike?
To die and be raised again. Or...
It means to be submerged. Immersed. When we talk about sprinkling for baptism, when we talk about pouring for baptism, that is not baptism at all. That's what you call effusion. It's something else. Baptism means to be immersed in it. Have you ever been immersed in pain? Huh? Have you? Have you ever been in pain, young lady? A lot of pain? Okay. How about young man? You've been in a lot of pain? Did you ever get run over by a car or something? No. How about stomp my horse? I had some of those things. My life has been in pain. Okay, lots of pain. This means I have an immersion. I have something that's going to engulf me. Something that's just going to overcome me and completely immerse me. To undergo. I have a baptism to undergo. And how distressed. The word is seen erkamai. All right? Seen erkamai, it means I am just absolutely smashed. Smashed. How many of you have ever been out in a cotton field when they're picking cotton, and they take the cotton and they put it and they compress it and separate it and they smash it up and put it in a bale? How many of you ever picked cotton? Bill! All right, Kathy! It's a lot of cotton to pick, isn't it? You go down a field, and I mean, you're picking, and then you weigh at the end of the roll, and I mean, it's not very much. You picked a lot of cotton. But you can take and compress that cotton. You go out in the alfalfa fields, and you see alfalfa cut and then raked up, and they compress it in the bales. How many of you ever picked up a bale of alfalfa? Yeah. It's heavy, isn't it? From a little, it's smashed together. That's what this word here means, to compress. One time I was working for this hydraulic outfit, and they were shipping alfalfa hay to Japan. How many of you ever watched how they take care of their cattle in Japan? Anybody ever watch that on movies or whatever? They take the cows over there and they feed them and they treat them like kings and they massage them all over. They give them a rub down every day so their meat will be tender. You know, they're going to cut the throat sooner or later. But they'll massage them and they take them. Well, anyway, they were buying alfalfa hay here and they were taking these big machines and compressing it. Like 10 bales of hay, and they compress it and make it like one bale of hay. Smashing it very, very tight, and they take it over there, and they ship it on containers, and they would sell it to these people in Japan and China where they're raising these cattle because they don't have enough land over there to raise alfalfa hay. And meat takes a lot of vegetation, a lot of labor to produce, okay? So they'd ship it over there, and they would compress it. They put it in a compress. This is what this word means. I'm compressed. I'm smashed. I'm under great pressure. I am until it is brought to its final result. How long did Jesus know that he was going to be crucified?
From eternity past.
Now, give me the three attributes of God. What are they? What's one?
Omnipresent.
What's that mean? That he's everywhere at the time. And what does the word all powerful? What's that word? Omnipotent. Omnipotent. All right. That's all powerful. Okay. Now we look at that. But now, what is the other term for God? There's three. What is the other term?
Omniscient.
Omniscient. And what does that mean?
All
knowing. Okay. Now the Bible says that Jesus stood as a lamb slain from eternity before he ever created anything or anyone. How long did Jesus feel the nails in his hands?
From eternity past.
But you know what? Feeling it and looking at it, tomorrow I'm going to go through torture. What was it? 2 weeks ago Thursday I went through torture. They operated on my foot. And I should be in my toeless shoe today, but my ankle was so bad I could not wear it. And it's hurting. Being in a shoe. Tomorrow I have to go have a crown put on my tooth and they're going to miserably treat me. I guarantee you. All the way down my throat and my jaw is already bad. They're going to jack that thing open and they're going to work me over. And that's torture. And I know what it's going to feel like because I already had six of them. Now, Jesus was looking forward to the cross. Looking forward to it. How many of you ever got smashed your finger with a hammer? Real hard. Just made it bloody. How many? You ever done that?
That's how you can tell whether you're a Christian or not.
Yeah?
Whether you can keep your mouth shut.
I tell you what I did. I went to the doctor last week. And he took the bandage off my foot, and he looked at my foot, and he said, "You have not been off of your foot." He said, "Oh, your stitches are torn out. Your foot," he said, and he cut the stitches out, and my foot just went wide open. I said, "I told you I didn't have time to rest. Put my foot up." And he said, "Boy, that's going to have to heal from the inside out. All the flesh died off of it and everything else." That was not good news. And it still hurts because I couldn't stay off my foot. If you know how bad something hurts and you're looking forward to it again, a guy was talking to me yesterday. He came out and talking to me about renting out the rent house. And he said, "I got to have a hernia surgery." He said, "How bad does that hurt? Have you ever had that?" And I said, "Yeah, I had that." I said, "It's bad." That's all I can say. Some people is worse than others. It was the most horrible surgery I ever had. I was in more pain with that than any other pain surgery. I've been cut to pieces. And that was bad. I said, "It might not be that bad for you, but it hurts. Any abdominal surgery hurts. It hurts a lot, if you ever had that." Well, I'm going to tell you something. Crucifixion is the worst painful death that you can possibly think of. There is nothing worse than that. There's nothing in this world that compares to crucifixion. And nobody has ever been crucified and come back except for Jesus. And he can tell you all about it. And you know why he was crucified? For you and for me. For us. Okay? And that's what Jesus is talking about. He said, I have a crucifixion to face. And his disciples, you know what they said one time? They said, who's going to be the greatest? He said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. Can you be baptized with that baptism? And they said, oh, yes, sir. They didn't know what they were talking about. They didn't know what they were talking about. Part of that baptism was being had people turn their back on him. Did Jesus, did he have one disciple falling to the cross? Did he really have one stay by him? Not one, did he? All of them scattered. He says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. And they did. Peter sat back there and cursed and denied that he even knew Jesus. This is the big shot. He cursed and denied that he even knew Jesus. Have I got a baptism that you, can you be baptized with that? And they said, oh yes. And then after Jesus was crucified and after he was resurrected, then he talked to Peter again. And he asked him in the Gospel of John, he said, Peter, do you love me? Will you give your life for me? Agapeo. And what did Peter say? I like you. I like you. I don't love you. I like you. I'm not going to give my life for you. Then he asked him again, Peter, do you love me? Will you give your life for me? And what did he say? You know that I like you. I'm going to give my life for you. You know that I like you. And then he said, Peter, do you even like me? And he was grieved. And then, after that, guess what he said? Who's going to be the greatest? Again, who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest?
The least among you.
Huh? The least among you will be the greatest. And then he told Peter a little story. He said, Peter, you go where you want to go right now, but one of these days you're going to be incarcerated. You're going to be arrested. Not only that, but you're going to be stretched out on a cross. And Peter said, what? What about him? What's going to happen to John? He said, so what? This is what's going to happen to you, Peter. Peter had already seen his master crucified. Peter, that's going to happen to you. Well, he said, I'm greatly distressed until it's accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on the earth? I tell you no, but rather division. Verse number 52. From now on, five members of one household will be divided, three against two, and three, and two against three. Is that happening in any of your families over religion? Has it? Yeah. It happens. They will be divided. Father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. That happens. It happens. Still happening. And he was also saying to the multitudes, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you will say a shower is coming, and it's so. How many of you ever seen rain clouds coming? You look out here and you can see the rain falling. And the wind is coming your direction as well. It's going to rain here today. It will probably rain here today. Because you see it, just the sky is just black. And when you see a south wind blowing, you say, it's going to be hot today. And the south wind, usually it's hot, isn't it? The south wind is hot, especially in the Middle East. Verse number 56, he comes up with something unusual. He said, you bunch of hypocrites, you know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why you do not analyze this present time? And why do you not even on your own initiative judge what is right? Who all is Jesus talking to around here? Who all is around here? Who's around here? Who's listening to Jesus? Some of them are his disciples. And who else, Brother John? Not just his disciples, but the Pharisees. They followed him around like dogs, smelling and trailing him. and trying to persecute him and trying to find something wrong with him all the time. They were like bloodhounds on his trail, trying to crucify him. And they would. They would do it in the end. And now, I read to you Gamaliel's report here a while back. Did I read that in this class? Mm-hmm. I think I did. Gamaliel's report to the Sanhedrin. This is before Jesus' ministry. And what did Gamaliel say to the Sanhedrin court? That I do believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He's born in the right place. He's born from the right family. He's born at the right time. And it is my honest opinion that he is the Messiah. And that was his address and his letter, official letter to the Sanhedrin court. And the Sanhedrin court was the Supreme Court of Israel. Okay? And then Jesus began to do his miracles, but Jesus also began to talk. And when he began to talk, what did he begin to say to the leadership? You are corrupt. And when he told the leadership that they were corrupt, and they told the Sanhedrin they were corrupt, and he told the Pharisees they were corrupt, he told the Sadducees they were corrupt, he told the Levites they were corrupt, and he told the scribes they were corrupt. And what did they do? They became offended, and they wanted to murder him. And now Jesus is saying, now you know that I've come. You have the credentials, my messianic credentials, and you will not believe. In any court of law, would he have been qualified as a Messiah? If you took all the New Testament with all of his credentials, with all the Old Testament, and put it down in front of you, would Jesus be the Messiah? Would he meet all of the credentials of the Messiah? Yes, he would. So he says, why do you not even on your own initiative judge what is right? You're trying to kill me. And you know what's right. Why did not the Jews want to let Jesus be the Messiah? Why? What did they say? He will take our religion away from us, and he will take our government, and he will take our purse away from us. We won't have control of the people. We won't have control of the masses if he's in control. Verse number 58. And while you're going with your opponent, now here's another little thing. How many of you ever had to go to the court of law? Any of you ever have to go to the law? Have to go to the courthouse? Down here at 1415 Truxton Avenue, if you're rich enough, you can afford justice. If you got enough money, you might get justice. Maybe. 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 That's all I can say. Well, while you're going with your opponent to appear before the magistrate, that word magistrate there, that's the word magi. You know who the magi were that came to see Jesus? You know, remember they brought gifts to him. What gifts did they bring? Opium. Gold, frankincense, and frankincense, which was a perfume. And what was the myrrh?
No.
Opium. That was used for medication. When Jacob sent presents to Joseph in Egypt, which he thought was the king of Egypt, he sent opium to him. Where is basically opium used? In the Middle East. That's where it originated, was in the Middle East. It's medicine. Okay? You know that England totally destroyed the Chinese culture? Did you know that? They imported opium from the Middle East and came over there into China and started selling it to those people and got them hooked on dope. And they got complete control over a lot of the Chinese. And the Chinese tried to revolt. The government did. And England attacked them. That's Singapore business. All that. That's part of history. Okay? Now they're going to go to court. And you're going to go to court. And Jesus is going to go to court with these guys, isn't he? Is he or not, or is he not? Okay? While you're going to, with your opponent, to appear before the magistrate, this is the word magi, and on your way there, make an effort to settle with him in order that he may not drag you before the judge, and the judge turn you over to the constable, and the constable throw you into prison. Now, I say to you that you shall not get out of there until you've paid every last cent. Who's going to be the final judge of all the things that happened in Jesus' lifetime? Who's going to be the final judge? Brother Mike?
Jesus.
He wins. That's, you read the book of Revelation, Jesus wins. That's the whole story. That's the whole final. Jesus wins. Israel said to Pontius Pilate, what did he say to them? He washed his hands. Remember in the movie it said, there's a picture of Pontius Pilate washing his hands and the blood and the water turned to blood. Remember that in the basin in one of the movies that he did? Have you ever seen that? Any of you? And he says, he is innocent. And I am innocent of this man's blood. And they said what? Let his blood be upon us and our children. And the first fulfillment of that was what? Jesus looked over to Jerusalem and he said, "Oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have called. I clucked for you like a mother hen with a baby chicken, but what? You would not come. I tried to settle you with you before the court, before the trial. The trial he's talking about is the Sanhedrin when they tried him. Who else did they try in the Sanhedrin court in an outlaw fashion and completely murdered him? It's Acts, the 7th chapter.
Stephen.
They illegally killed Stephen. They murdered Stephen. And not only did they murder him, they went out there after they killed him and they took their teeth and bit Stephen with their teeth. They bit him like dogs and chewed on his body. That's mean, isn't it? That's like some barroom brawl. People biting each other's noses and ears off. That's the kind of people they were. I say to you that you shall not get out of there until you pay every last cent. In A.D. 70, Jerusalem was destroyed. Right after that, the Sicarii was out there on Masada. And guess what happened? The 10th Roman Legion built a ramp up there. And they completely were going to kill every man, woman, and child in that fortress of Masada, which was Herod's fortress. And then they committed murder, Harry Carey, or suicide, mass suicide. So they wouldn't give the Romans the joy of putting them to death. They all died. That wasn't the last Masada. There's been a whole lot of Masadas in history because they will pay every last cent. And in the end time, how many of you like to study the book of Revelation? And what's going to happen in the end? See, we live in the church age. And right after the church age, what's going to happen right here? 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. The church and all the saved are going to get raptured. But what's going to happen on the earth? Do you know what's going to happen down here? All hell's going to break loose on earth. The devil's going to be turned loose on mankind. For 7 years, there's going to be terrible things happen to this earth. Terrible, terrible things. There's going to be demons that come out of the bottomless pit and turn into scorpion-looking things. Have you ever had a scorpion? How many of you ever played with scorpions? You're playing with pain. How many of you ever played with a snake? Rattlesnake. They're venomous. Yeah. Venomous. When they bite, they cause great pain. Scorpions cause great pain. How many of you ever been bit by a bee? Stung by a bee. How many of you ever been stung by a hornet? That's worse. Like fire. Like fire. There's going to be scorpions out stinging people. And people are going to be hurting so bad that they want to die. And guess what? God won't let them die. They're going to just get to suffer some more. You will pay every last cent. Israel is going to suffer for what they did to the Messiah. They will suffer. But two out of every three are going to die. Two-thirds of them are going to die. But five out of every six people is going to die in the world too. That's a lot of death, isn't it? You ever been around dead people? They stink. Dead animals, they stink. They stink. The earth is going to stink. Verse, chapter number 13 now. Chapter 13 of the book of Luke. This is a very important verse here, number 13. And now on the same occasion, there are some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood the Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Now, what do you think they're trying to do? Have you ever had somebody say something really bad to you? Insult you terribly? Say something really terrible to you? Just be mean. Just be absolutely mean to you. And then you come back at them as a, you know, and confront them for their meanness. And then they start blame shifting. Okay? You know what blame shifting is? Put the blame on somebody else. That's what's going on right here. Now, Jesus did scolded and scalded and worked them over, okay? He worked them over. He called them a bunch of rats. He told them that they're going to pay to the last cent. He told them that they were going to really suffer. And now they tried to change the subject. What about Pontius Pilate? Pontius Pilate. What about old Pontius Pilate? Now, on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood and that Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. In other words, he had them killed. He tried to get him to change the subject. They tried to get him to talk about Pilate. How about Jesus and Pontius Pilate? What's the story behind Jesus?
Pilate tried seven times to get him off.
Yeah, he tried five times to set him free. Pontius Pilate gave Jesus free rein to preach. He could have stopped that. He gave him free rein to preach. He protected him against Herod, and he protected him against these rats. But when he came into Jerusalem the first time, he had brought in standards with Caesar's face on it and brought it into the city of Jerusalem. And these Jews are really, really offended easily. They got chips on both shoulders, sky high to the higher than the Empire State Building. I guess that's the highest building in the United States again, isn't it? After the Twin Towers went down, the Empire State Building.
I thought the new Sears Building. Yeah.
I don't know. In New York. Yeah, in New York. Anyway, they got chips on their shoulders to the ceiling, or to the sky, and they're always ready to be offended. Okay. And when he brought this standard in there, they got real offended and they started having fits. And in another area, they came in there and they started protesting him. And he says, "Go out there and kill some of them. Get rid of them." Pontius Pilate said, "Go stab a few of them. Go cut their throats or something." So he did. And he had them killed to stop the riots. And so now they're blaming this on Pontius Pilate, which actually, whose fault was it? Their own faults. You know? And he answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate?" Well, what in the world is he talking about there? Does good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people? Does it rain on the just and the unjust? Does it or does it not? Have you ever seen somebody who was really bad just got all the breaks? There's an old saying, only the good die young. Because many times good people die young. And bad people live to be very old. Wicked people, they just live out their life. There are real Scrooges in this world, aren't there? The real ones. We just have gone through the holiday season. How many of you watch the movie Christmas movies and Scrooge and all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, there's a new one out too, and a new Scrooge or something. I haven't seen that one yet. But there are real Scrooges in the world. He said, do you think that because these Galileans were the greater sinners that they suffered this great fate? Now, what was the idea of the Jews? What kind of an idea did the Jews have about the status of life? If you got sick and you were a Jew, if you read the book of Job, what's the whole book of Job about? What's the book of Job about?
Faith.
Huh?
Faith.
It's about faith, but who is the book of Job about?
Suffering saint.
A Job. It's about Job. Was Job a good guy?
Yeah.
Did Job have a lot of trouble?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, he did. Was his trouble caused because he was a bad guy?
No.
Why was his trouble caused? What caused Job his trouble?
Because Satan wanted to test
Satan! Him. There you go. Thank you. Got an A+. Satan wanted to hurt him. To prove to God that he would quit serving God and quit loving God if he didn't have all the good stuff in life. The book of Job is about a man of God that suffered a lot of unrighteous things in an unrighteous world. And he didn't even have a friend. All of his friends did what? They said, Job, you're a bad guy, you've got secret sins, and God is punishing you for them. And Job said, finally, he said, I need a lawyer. That was a bad mistake too, you know, between me and God. Galileans, because they suffered this fate, I tell you that no, unless you repent, you all likewise perish. If in this world good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people, they were trying to take and show how bad of a sinner Pontius Pilate was, and you know what? Pontius Pilate was a pristine, pearly white saint compared to them. Even though he had killed these people. He had them murdered. And they were unarmed, and they weren't innocent, but he had them killed. Okay? Repent, or you all likewise perish. Verse number 4. Or do you suppose that those 18 whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all of the men who live in Jerusalem? A tower fell on some people and killed them. Have you ever known anybody that got killed in some kind of a weird accident? Huh? Some kind of weird accident that they shouldn't... It was. They were just in the wrong place at the right time. That's what happened to these people. He said, do you think that they were worse than everybody else around there? No. I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. How would these people, how would the hearers perish? How many people perished when Titus Caesar came against Jerusalem? How many millions perished? Millions. How many of you have ever been hungry? Real hungry. Real hungry. You know that they sold Jews as slaves. They really got to be slaves after this. They sold Jews, and the market was flooded with Jews. And you could buy a Jew for less than you could buy a used Chevrolet. So to speak. You could buy a Jew for $5, and it cost $15 a week to feed him. So you would go buy you a Jew on the slave market, and you would work him without food until he died, and you go buy you another one. If it cost you $15 a week to feed him, what would be your decision to do? I'll just work him till he's dead, and I'll go buy me another Jew for $5. And they did that. They worked him to death. Did they pay the last cent? Did they pay for what they did? Yes. And they said, oh, how bad we were punished in history, and they were punished in history. But they called for it. Their mouth called for blows. Simple as that. I tell you, no, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And verse number 6, and he began, or he kept on telling them this parable. A certain man had a fig tree. What's this fig tree about, Brother Roger? Who does this fig tree represent? This fig tree represents Israel. This fig tree represents Israel. And a certain man had a fig tree which he had planted in his vineyard, and came looking for fruit on it, and he did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, "Behold, for 3 years I have been looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any." And by the way, how many of you ever had a fig tree? Anybody? Kathy, you've had a, Bill, you've had a fig tree. Okay. Now, here in California, how many crops are on a fig tree a year? Huh? No. They just, sometimes 3 crops a year on one tree. In other words, anytime you see leaves on that tree, there are figs on it. There's fruit supposed to be coming on this tree. Just one crop right after the other. And he said to the vineyard keeper, "Behold, for 3 years, I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree." And by the way, Palestine, what kind of weather do they have in Palestine? Huh? It's about like Southern California. The temperament and the climate is about like Southern California. They don't have any real cold winters, except up in the high mountains. But most in Palestine, it is mild winters. It's like Southern California. You go down to Los Angeles, you can find out that they can grow bananas down there.
Certain areas.
And behold, he said to the vineyard keeper, "Behold, for 3 years I have been looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? It's breathing good air and taking up good moisture and taking up space." Who's he talking about? Talking about the Jews. Talking about Israel. And he answered and said to them, "Let it alone, sir, for this year too I will dig around it, and I will put fertilizer around it." I'll put fertilizer around this here fig tree. What year was that? Huh? The third year. All right. Now, what year was Jesus' ministry? The third year of Jesus' ministry. Just think about this now. The third year. Jesus, for 30 years, he lived and he was the right person. And the Galileo said that he was the Messiah. And for 3 years, Jesus had been proving that he was the Messiah. And Israel kept rejecting him all those 3 years, did they not? And the land of Israel was whose vineyard? God's vineyard. And Israel, God had planted there, and they represented the fig tree. Okay? And they had been unfruitful for 3 years. And what kind of fertilizer were they going to get? The blood of Jesus. And how many rejected after Jesus Christ died on the cross? How many people, those Jews, the leadership of the Jews went out there and said, told Pontius Pilate again, the bad guy, you know, they were trying to blame shift on here for a while. They said, "Pontius Pilate, give us a guard so we can prove that Jesus Christ just died, because they're going to say he raised from the dead." He said, "Go do your best. Go take your own Herodian temple guards and use them, because I'm not going to give you one Roman guard, and I don't care how many pictures you see, those Roman guards standing out there at the tomb of Jesus, there weren't any. Those were all Jewish guards." And he said unto them, "Let it alone, sir, for this year I will dig around it and put fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, I will do what? I will cut it down." In the last year of Jesus Christ's ministry, he took the reins away from Israel to the Jews, and he took the leadership in his own hands, but they rejected their king. They rejected their king. The third year of Jesus Christ's ministry, Israel lost their divine administration of God's kingdom. And they won't get it back again until God beats them up through the tribulation period, and He brings them into 1,000 years they are going to serve Him. Do you have any questions on any of this so far? Is this plainer today? A little bit plainer? You see what all Jesus is talking about? Do you have any Bible questions? Joanne? Bill? You always got a Bible question. I'm giving you a minute.
No, you've done a good job today, Jim.
All right. We're going to find out. He's just going to keep on giving parables. He's just going to keep on telling them, and He's going to keep on condemning them one time right after another that would convince anybody in a court of law they should have understood that they were wrong and He was right. That the king of Israel was actually there. Right in the next verse, number 10, okay? Healing on the Sabbath. Where was the local Jewish religious ceremonies taking place? Where did all of them take place?
The
synagogue. How do you say synagogue in Hebrew?
Moed.
All right? That's the gathering place. In these synagogues. Now, guess what happens here? And He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. What's the Sabbath mean? What's the word Sabbath mean? It's almost always in the plural, sabbaton.
The beginning?
Huh? No. What's it mean? Brother Mike?
Rest.
No. What does it mean?
Finished.
What?
Finished.
That's right, Brother Bill. You remember. It means completed.
Yep.
The week is finished. That's the last day of the week. The Sabbath is the last day of the week. It means finished. All right? On the Sabbath, on the last day of the week, God created the heavens and the earth and restored them and everything else in 6 days. And what did He do on the seventh day? He rested. And how many of you have had bosses out there that would work you 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, if they could? But God knew that people were wicked and evil and greedy and things like that, so He created the Sabbath, and He created the Sabbath even for the animals. The beast of burden got a day off. They did. They got a day off. And He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit. What kind of a sickness is this? This is a demonically caused sickness. This is where demons get involved in people's health. And she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, He called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your sicknesses." This is on the Sabbath. Okay. What does the term rabbi mean? What's the term rabbi mean? Brother Mike?
Teacher.
Well, we think of it as teacher. What does it really mean? Rabbi. Brother David? Roger. Doctor. Doctor. Doctor of theology, actually. And Israel did not look at Jesus as a... He looked at him as a rabbi, a doctor of theology, but also looked at him as a healer. As a healer. He would go around healing people. Instead of looking at him as his messianic credentials, he's just a doctor that goes around doing miraculous healing. He's got some real good medicine. Okay? And He laid His hands upon her, and immediately she was erect again, and she kept on glorifying God in the synagogue official. Here's the synagogue official now. The synagogue official was indignant, because He had healed her on the Sabbath, and kept on saying to the multitude in front, "There are 6 days in which work should be done. Therefore, come during them and get healed, and not on the Sabbath, but not on the Sabbath day. But don't do it on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered and said to him, "You hypocrites." Remember what He had said just a few verses in the last chapter? "You hypocrites." What did He tell them to do? Repent. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath you untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham, as she is, who Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day? You let your cows go free and go out and get some water? Why don't you let this woman get some relief? And he said all this. And he had said this, and all his opponents were being humiliated. And the entire multitude was rejoicing over the glorious things that had been done by him. What was this, the healing of this woman on the Sabbath? What did it mean? Verse number 17. What did it mean? He proved again that I am the Messiah. One more time he proved that he was the Messiah. You people will not accept me. And one more time I prove who I am to you, but you will not listen. And you are going to answer for every wrong deed you have done. Brother David, thank you for your attention. And go out and do something eternal. Brother Bill.
Jim, I'd just like to mention...